This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Father God, we just want to praise your name, Father God. As Paul said, Father God, it's a journey that we're in, Lord God. It's not a simple step of faith, one time, once off, but it's a continual journey with you, Father God, and it's such an amazing privilege, Lord God, of partnering with you, Father, being in a place, Lord God, where we can stay in a relationship with you, Father. It's such an amazing space, Lord God, that we can come in here and worship you, Father, and we pray, Father, our hearts can be in such a place, Lord God, that we can see you, Father, in our spiritual eyes, Lord God, and understand, Lord God, what we sing is something important. It's something that has real importance in our lives because it's proclaiming who you are in us, Lord God. It's that revelation that we've received of who you are in our lives, Lord God, that we can truly sing with freedom, Lord God, with that freedom on our lips that we are able to just declare that you're our God, and we love you for what you've done, and that we're able to make that choice to choose you freely, Lord God. There's no, you do not force us to make that choice, Lord God. You've seen ahead in time when you created this earth to see where the problems would lie. You understood, Lord God, that man's heart is weak, that there's so much vulnerabilities in his own strength, he would not be able to save himself, Lord God. And you made that precious gift, Lord God, for us. You've prepared it for eternity, Lord God. And when you sent your son to earth, Lord God, it was a place for him to declare your love, to declare who you are. He wanted to show the world exactly what his father is doing in heaven, the way that his heart is set upon his people, where his eyes are set upon his beloved. And he proclaimed that he wanted to see, to make people see and realize that you are the God of relationship, that you are the God of Abraham, yet the God of yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. And God, we just want to be in this place and know who you are, Lord God, and not be something in our minds, the back of our minds, that we can't grasp, that we can't understand. Yes, we can't understand you, but there's a certain aspect of who you are, Father God, that we can proclaim in this place. Because we've made that choice. We've accepted Jesus into our hearts. And we've proclaimed him, Lord, to be our Lord and Savior. And Father, it's through that place of obedience and faith that we can stand before you, Father, washed clean of all our sins and iniquities, and stand before you and say that, Lord, we want to have a relationship with you. And you come from your throne and you approach us in your glory and your holiness. And you're not afraid to approach us in our sinful nature because we've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed clean by just his obedience, Father God. And we can stand before you with our hands raised, on our knees bowed down, Father, and give you the honor and the glory that you deserve, just as we sang that the angels are doing throughout eternity, Lord God. And that's all that they're there for. They want to glorify and worship you. And Father, we want to come into that place of worship, Father, of understanding what we do and how we do it, Father, from our heart's perspective, Father. It's not something that we just do, Lord God, but it's something that flows out from the love and just the passion that we experience from you, Father. That it's something that cannot stop. It's like a river that's received water. It cannot help but flow faster. It cannot help but wanting to break the dams that's holding it back, Father. It's just a natural process. It's a natural flow, Father. And we want to proclaim that flow in our lives, Lord God, that it's something that just builds us up, Lord God, and makes us your children. And Father, we want to pray, Lord God, that you're able to use us in that capacity as well, that we're able, Lord, to go into the world and make a difference, Father God. And it's not by our earthly wisdom, Father. It's only through that acceptance of your Son, Lord God, that we are able to start to comprehend the love that you have for us, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able, Lord, just to be in this place as part of your body, Lord, to proclaim who you are. Our Father, I just want to pray, Father, for the words that will come from my lips, Lord God, that it will be something that's truly prevalent to you, Father. It's precious to you. I pray that my heart and my mind will be set on you, Father God, as your Spirit directs me, as you lead me by your word and your Spirit, Father, that it is something that goes into every heart, into every mind, Father God, that just builds them up, Lord God, that gives them the grace that's coming from you, Father, that gives them the power, the enabling grace, Father, that just makes us so much more than we were meant to be, Father, upon this earth from a worldly perspective. And for that, Lord God, we can only glorify your name. Amen. Morning, everybody. You can quickly have a seat. If you still want to move closer to your neighbor to get some heat, you're more than welcome to. But for those of you that are quite tough or used to the cold, you can sit by your lonely selves. Adrian, Philip, as you just get through, you can come and mekaar sit. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. It's really a privilege of bringing the Lord's word today. And I pray you'll enjoy the journey with me today. My name is Ronald Pieterse. For those of you that do not know me yet, I'm not the pastor here. I'm one of the elders. Our pastor is Pastor J.P. Archer at the back. He'll be sharing a small word and testimony for me just before we get started. So, J.P., you can come to the front so long.
Thanks, Ronald. Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I won't take up all the time this morning, and I won't go back in time like we did last week. But I think just on what Ronald asked me to share about, we had an outreach yesterday. I actually want to start with Monday. Monday night is our shelter night. So on Monday, we sang a couple of good songs, and people were just, you know, they were in the moment, and we were giving them food. But something, in a sense, was also hindering me about why are we doing what we're doing. And you know, I've been working on that and with the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, we're giving to these people, but what are we actually giving to them? Is it just about the food, or is it more than that? And just as I was about to leave, I saw one of the gents, Trevor, and I spoke to him. I said, Trevor, how's it going? And he's like, no, he's still got a job, and week in and week out, you know, the Lord's been providing him. And I've spoken with him 2 weeks ago, and he was in a bad state. You know, he was crying on my shoulder. And I said to him, I'm so sorry, Trevor. What is it that I can do to make it better? And I just prayed for him, and I counseled him and spoke with him. And 2 weeks later, he confessed why he was crying that day. Because he fell back again in alcohol, and he really had a bad weekend. And on that Monday, you know, we were just at that vessel where he could just go on and just let it go. And amazingly enough, he came to me on Monday night and he said, you know, I've had 2 weeks of being sober, and I want to give my heart to the Lord tonight. And I led him into a prayer then, and it was just amazing. You know, this guy having, they don't have anything but the things that they can carry. And that was what the Lord showed me that night in terms of what we give to other people. So Auntie Doris has asked me to go with her to the hospital. And I thought, you know, just the two of us, it would be all right, but more than two would be better. And I sent out an invitation, and I get this phone call. Hey, there's nobody at the hospital yesterday morning. I was like, okay, I'm on my way. When we got there were 9 people waiting for us. Amazing. So we went in, we prayed beforehand, we went to ward 4, and the first thing we did was just familiarize ourselves with the nurses there, and ask their permission, and they let us through, and amazingly enough, when we went into the first room, people were just expecting, they were so inviting. No, come and pray for us, come and pray for us. But I think the most amazing thing was when we, just before we went out, we went to pray for a little girl. She's 15 years old, and she's paralyzed from the waist downwards. And when we came in, she was sitting with her head down, and this was her appearance. I mean, she was sitting upright. That's the only thing that sort of kept her up. And we anointed her with oil and prayed for her and said, you know, and I just really felt, you know, the Lord saying to us there that this girl must keep on smiling and lift her head up. And I took my wife's Bible. It is one of these, she's got a pink one. And because mine is so thick, and I just use hers. And I said to Francisca, I said, listen, where's your Bible? Do you read your Bible? No, it's here. And she took it. We took it out from underneath. And it was a purple one, almost exactly like my wife's. And you know, when I took out my Bible and I showed it to her, she was just all smiles. And I said to her, you've got to lift up your head. And, you know, we prayed for her again. And on that moment, she started smiling. But there was a lady on this side, on the other bed. But man, has she got walls around her. And I experienced, I said, Lord, what are we doing here this morning? And he said, well, go and ask her if she's afraid to die. And I said, okay, it's harsh, but let's go. And I went up and I said, why are you here? She said, no, she's going to stay here another 3 months. She's got blood cancer. Now, my experience with blood cancer is never good. Everybody that I've encountered doesn't have long to live. And it's a reality. So I asked the lady, I said, sure, how are you feeling about it? No, she's okay. She's got good support. And that very next moment, I said to her, but are you afraid to die? And her head just went down. Because that's the one question she couldn't answer clearly and couldn't answer with confidence. And I said to her, well, there's one way to be confident in knowing that you're right to die today. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, many will call his name and say, Lord, Lord, here I am. And what do they say? The Lord's going to say to him, I don't know you. Romans 6:23 said, and I began to minister to her, and I said to her, you know what? There's not really a lot that you can do except confess with your mouth and believe with your heart and repent. Then you will be sure that you will enter heaven. And what an amazing time, you know. That woman went quiet and she said to me, I can't answer you now. And I said to her, it's okay. I'll continue to pray for you that the Lord will intervene, but I'm not going to pray for you right here, because what I want you to do is I want you to make your words known to the Lord. Make your heart known to the Lord. And based on that, we left and we continued to pray for him. But just the excitement of people expecting or people inviting us. Just that excitement. When we walked out of there, it was just so amazing how we felt, how we were blessed. And we were taken back. Josh shared with me last week that scripture in Philippians, where Paul basically writes, it's not because of what you give me, but it's because of when you give it, of the reward that is in your life that's happening. And that is what it's about when we do outreaches, when we go out to people. We give something. But you know, the Lord stirs within us so much more. So the Windhoek Central Hospital outreach will be every second Saturday of the month. Keep note, hold on to the, or read the weekly, and you will be informed. But it's something I want to encourage you with, something that I felt uncomfortable with in the beginning, walking up to somebody's bed and say, hey, can I pray for you? But you know what, that's a place that the Lord challenges us with. And I really want to invite you, prepare your hearts, get to that place of just stepping out of that comfort zone and say, hey, it's not about me today. It's about the people there and their hearts and getting them to minister to them the word of God and bringing Jesus to them. So yeah, just based on that, thank you so much.
Thank you, JP. And there's a really specific reason I asked him to share on that. Because it's been something that the Lord just laid on my heart and I actually wanted to share with you. And it partially pertains to what he shared as well, because we sometimes have this perspective now, Pastor, I ask you to come and pray with me in church. What's your first idea? I have to pray for sick people. How do I do that, God? And that caught me out a lot of times, because it's like, oh God, I have to go pray for this person. And the expectation in me actually is I have to pray for this person. This person has to get up and get healed immediately. And that's the expectation that we put on ourselves. And it ties in with the sermon that I'm sharing today, and it speaks on the power of God. And for a long time in my life, this is exactly what I thought the power of God was in my life. I am supposed to receive God's power, and I'm supposed to go to people, and whatever I pray is supposed to happen. That was my take for a long while, and also why I refused to go and pray for hospitals, because it was people not getting healed when I prayed. So where's the power of God? Where's the anointing on me? Where's this? And this week was just a place where God just really took me to that place again and say, okay, what is the power of God? And I stood there and I thought, but what is it? And you can answer that question in your own lives. What is the power of God? What is the thing that we are proclaiming? And throughout the New Testament, you can see that God was working through his people. I mean, if you look at the apostles, they just walked past people and the shadows fell on sick people and they got healed instantly. It's just one of the examples. And to my mindset, that is what the power of God is. And to a large extent, that is correct. But what is that power? What is the power of God in your life? Because so many times we've got this warped image of what God is, what his power is, what his power is in me, and how that works. How does Christ operate in me? How am I able to bring this power that the Word speaks of to make it a reality of what I am and who I am and what I'm living for? And I have to confess, many times somebody comes to the front, they ask for prayer, for healing. It's like, inwardly I cringe. It's like, no, not here, not now. Because my expectation is I pray for them, they get healed. I see that in the Word. They pray, they get healed instantly. And yes, there are many things that build up to that. Even Jesus had, where there was no faith, he could not perform miracles because the people just rejected him. But in an environment, for instance, like church, when somebody comes to you, you're both believers, you both have faith in Christ, and you have to pray for healing. What's the expectation? And it's usually that expectation that blocks you from really releasing the power of God. It's really that thing that makes you think twice about, there's no thinking twice. There's prayer required. I pray. And I think Adidore is such a nice example of that. You want prayer, go to her. She'll pray. And she prays it with faith and understanding of who God is. It is not Auntie Daughters that's speaking. It is Christ in her that's working. And for all of us, it must be the same. We have to have that same expectancy, understanding, Jesus, this is beyond me. Because I think the doctors are the closest people that can come to a place where they can actually heal people physically. But they also have their limitations. We can actually ask for a few testimonies, but I will not do that today. But it's sometimes a tough place to be. Many times I've had experiences where people had loved ones that they earnestly prayed for. They fasted. They did a lot of things with a lot of faith. And it just simply did not happen. So where is this power of God? And that's a lot of places where people get hurt. Because they have this love and this passion. They know God. They know that God heals. But God, why didn't you heal my father? God, why didn't you heal my son? If I cry today, it's okay. I get passionate and I get emotional, but I'll just go with it, and hopefully you'll just go with it as well. And it's that place where God really wants to show us something that is beyond our understanding. It was at least for my case, because it was always this expectation of, God, I need to have your power. Must I pray more? Must I fast? What must I do, Lord, to get this power, to be able to go to people, to the hospitals, and pray for them, and they get healed instantly? I mean, what a blessing would that be? This church would be filled. We'd have to find another venue. If we go to that hospital and 100 people get healed, that's my thinking. It's my take. God, is this to your glory? People will get healed. They will get saved. They will come to church. The church will grow. We'll go to the next hospital. We'll pray. They get healed, they get saved, they come to church, and it will just grow exponentially. My human wisdom, human thinking, telling God what he's supposed to do, and that's usually what we do when you want to pray for certain aspects with an expectation in our own hearts. God, you have to do this because I'm praying like this. God, you have to do that because I have faith for that. But when that does not realize or come to reality, or happens as you think it is, we get hurt. So many times you just think, but God, where are you? I did the A, B, C, D, E. But nothing happened. So God, where's your power? And sometimes very mistakenly we ask God, where's my power? My ability. My strength. And that's, maybe it's just me. I'll confess it. Maybe there's one or two. Others are, they can come and pray for me. But it's a reality, people. But the question is, where is God's power in that? Where's God's power when we go to hospitals and pray for people? It's a simple explanation, actually. It's what is your expectation of that power and your understanding of that power? And there's a very well-known verse that actually epitomizes this wrong way of thinking of God's power and His Holy Spirit. It's actually Simon the Sorcerer in Acts 8. I will not go into detail, but it's in Acts 8 from verse 5 to 21 if you want to go read it. Where Simon was a sorcerer and he was actually quite powerful because the people realized that he's got talents, I will give it. But then one of the apostles came to the town he was living in and he started preaching and proclaiming and he baptized people with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly Simon saw something, but this is beyond what he has the ability to do. And he actually went to Peter and to John and said, here's money. Please pray for me that I can have the Holy Spirit and I can pray over people and they can receive it in return. And Peter rebuked him. Said, you do not understand this gift that we have and you will not receive it. And that's the thing that we sometimes think is we can pay God for receiving something that only He can give. And that's supposed to be where our peace is. Or for instance, for me, for my peace, to know that I can pray for anybody and that is the power of God in me that speaks to them. But Reynolds jumps to the front and says, I want to get this person healed. Not, God, what do you want me to pray for this person? Is it the sickness? Is there something else maybe that the God Spirit wants to reveal to you? If you just keep quiet for a while and pray to that Spirit and say, God, what is supposed to happen here? I just want to read 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1 to 5. And brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But hold on. What did Reynold just say just now? Saul speaks here of demonstrating the Spirit and the power. And we should not have faith in our own wisdom and men, earthly wisdom, but faith in God's power. What is God's power in your life? Is it the ability to pray for people to get healed? Is it the ability to pray for people for their finances and their finances are sorted out like that? When was the last time that something miraculous happened when you had faith or you prayed or something that God revealed to your heart happened there and God's power showed? Is that the power of God? I've heard this a few times in the last 2 weeks, is that we as humans tend to focus on success. We're success driven. Because if we're successful, we think we're in the right direction. If this church grew overnight to 2,000 people, 20,000 people, does it mean we're a successful church? This is the thing that God just brought to my attention the whole time. It's not about success. It's about obedience. It's obedience. Because if you look at Christ and his life, it epitomizes that. What he did on the cross was not for success. It was for obedience. And with that, the victory was bought for us. And we're starting to get to the point that that thing that speaks of God's power is starting to point us in the right direction to proclaim who God is. And Saul again explains, and this is 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 18 to 25. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those being lost, but to us being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the perceiving ones. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the lawyer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom did not know God, it pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. For the Jew ask for a sign, and the Greek seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to them, the called ones, for both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolish thing of God is wiser than men, and the weak thing of God is stronger than men. And Saul rightfully says, Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And more than that, Christ crucified and raised is the full display of his greatest power, his love for us. And that's God's power. That's it. My sermon is done. We can go. Do you grasp it? Do you understand it? I will just read verse 18 and 24 again. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those being lost, but to us being saved, it is the power of God. And verse 24, but to them, the called out ones, for both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power of God is Christ alone. And Christ in us. That is our power. That is God's power in us. His enabling grace that sustains us. His enabling grace that empowers us. His enabling grace that provides us the love to understand and receive that love. And that's the amazing thing. If you understand this, you can go to a hospital and pray for people and know this is God's will. Not that they get healed, but the power of God manifest in that person's life. Just as JP said. And what is God's power? It's the revelation of his love towards you. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your background, that is God's power. It's a revelation of who God is in his fullness. God above everything that we understand and comprehend, that he would send down his son to die for us on a cross. Because when we were saved, for most of us sitting here, we came to a point that there was a choice that had to be made. We stood at the foot of the cross and looked at that empty cross and said, but what I've heard, what I've seen, what I've experienced, there's something that I have to decide here and now that will determine my future. And if you have a realization of who God is, and you know that Christ came, and you know that something happened to 11 guys that radically changed their lives. They did not fear death. They did not fear being persecuted. It was everything to them. Because the power of God sank into their hearts, into their minds, that there was nothing that stood before them that they feared. And you can go look at history. All of the apostles, save John, was martyred to death. And to my human mind, it thinks, God, how can you take your most powerful generals, your 11 generals after Jesus, and let them die? They're supposed to be the spirit in our human thinking. They are supposed to be the driving, the CEOs, the guys that's doing the things, because when they walked past people, their shadows fell on them, and they got healed. God, it doesn't make sense. I can take those people with your power, again, your power, and allow them to be killed for your name. But they understood the power of God within them more than anything else, and they had the understanding and the love and the grace to say, but God, your will be done, not my own. And it's that point of obedience that you say, God, do as your will. I stand back. I cannot in my own earthly wisdom begin to comprehend what you want to do or how you want to do this, because you're God. I cannot tell you what you must do. If you give me a vision, a word, or something that I must act on, yes, then I step out and I go with that. Like, I cannot walk in presumption into a hospital and say, but you be healed in Jesus' name. Unless God tells you and gives you the faith to do that specifically. Otherwise, you're arrogant and prideful. The biggest stumbling block in our human lives is that pride that we set before ourselves, before God, and say, I can do this. Not asking God first, God, must I do this? So we step back from that wisdom, we step back from that place and say, God, what is your will? Because as we step back into that place of our will being submitted, we step into God's power, His love, His grace, the biggest gift that we've ever received, no matter what happens going forward. And the apostles understood that. It doesn't matter if I die, because Christ's power is alive in me, and I took that power and I gave it to so many people. And God manifested His grace and His love in such a way that people were healed. People received Him. Demons were driven out through God's power. His enabling grace and love and revelation of who He is and wanting to have relationship with us. He knows our past. He knows the present. But He loves our future. And He's calling every one of us to come to Him, to that place of revelation at the foot of the cross, and say, God, and that's the God He is. He says, you have a choice. If you make the right choice and step in obedience, you'll get new revelation, a new understanding of who I am, a new understanding of my power in your love, in your life, and that's my enabling love. Otherwise, you come to the point, and so many people do that. Even us that's being saved, we still come to the point where God says, go to that person and tell him, I love him. Revelation. Now we've got the choice. Do we do it? God, I'm going to be so foolish if this person just does something odd or tells me to go away. Nope. And we walk away from that revelation. God cannot bring you to the next point, next revelation, if you're not obedient to the first point. And the Israelites is exactly that example that they gave to us. Before they could go into the promised land, they were disobedient. They could not understand the will of God. They did not want to follow the will of God. And they had, and God said, no, here's the line. You will not cross that line until you come to understanding of my power in you. And that's me. And you will have to go into the desert for 40 years. And every time you realize the hardness of this today's life is because I made the wrong choice and what chose to be disobedient at that point, it will remind you it was my choice. The next day, it was my choice. The next day, I will choose differently next time. I will choose differently next time. God, your will be done, not my own. Until they get to the point where God can use them to go into the promised land and you see a different Israel. What's your word? Go there. Yes, Lord. What next? Walk around Jericho. Yes, Lord. Not being robots or slaves, but going to a point of understanding that God wants them to do things His way. For our lives, it's the same today. And Jesus is that example for us that we follow each and every day. In John 5 from verse 19 to 24. Then Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. And whatever things He does, these also the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all the things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and makes alive, so the Son of Man makes alive whomever He wills. The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, so that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, who hears my word and believes on Him who sent me, is everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. And as we are saved, we come to that point that we have to realize that this is what Jesus said. He was following this example of His Father. And that is why He did the things He did. It was obedience to the Father. And that was all that it was about, is being obedient. And because He was able to walk in that obedience, He did it better than any of us will ever do upon this earth. Because He had full revelation, full understanding. And those of us that are being saved, we are receiving that revelation as we step in obedience for every place that we go, for every revelation that we receive. We make that choice, yes, for God. Next revelation. And that is God, how God wants to use us and how He's leading us. And this is what being saved is all about. God being able to use us because He shows us something that is real in our lives. And we can then say, but is this God? Is this not God? I had an example some time ago, I think it was while I was a student. A person gave a testimony of she was in the service, and while they were worshiping, just God laid on her heart and said, but you have to do a cartwheel in front of all these people. And it's like, okay, God, if this is what you want, I will do it. I don't understand it, but here we go. So she went to the front, told the pastor what she received, and she did the cartwheel in front of everybody. And in that service sat a man that was very angry with God, and he was there because a friend invited him, but he says, this God thing is not real. So he challenged God. I said, God, if you're real, make somebody do a cartwheel in front and show me that you're real. I can't remember the outcome, if he was crying or something like that, but it is just how God works. He reveals himself to you in a manner, in the way that you require in your own heart to meet with God. Whether that's a healing, whether that's a cartwheel in front of the church, or just a brother giving you a hug and say, man, I love you. That's revealing God's love to that person and giving him that choice to say yes to God or to say no to God. But you have to be in that place to be able to give that thing to that person. It's the power of God in you, enabling you to do that for another person. To bring that revelation to them. To bring that choice before them and say, here's the choice that God gives you. There's no choice, actually. You can say no, but you will just go in a circle and come back to the same point. And God will ask you, do you love me? No. You will come back and God will ask you, I will love you. Do you love me? But before you actually ask that question, he's already telling you, I love you more than you will ever dream or know or understand. I created you. I formed you. I know the pain you're going through. But do you love me enough? Or give me the credit that I know you and love you more than you can ever love me. But are you willing to trust me? Because you can say no and it will destroy you. This world will destroy you. You cannot. There's no questions asked about that. You can have the best work, the best job, the best paying salary, the whatever. But you will not escape God. And hopefully you find them in this lifetime before the next. Because in the next there will be judgment. And that revelation you receive, there is no choice anymore. I will just give another example, such a beautiful one, of revelation, choice, obedience in that triangle. It's Mark 10 from verse 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he with his disciples and a large crowd went out to Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the side of the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out a greater deal more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise up, he is calling you. And by casting away his garment, he rose up and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him, what do you desire that I should do to you? The blind man said to him, my Lord, that I may see again. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. And instantly he saw again, and followed Jesus in the way. Revelation. Sitting by the gate, begging. And there's this man, Jesus. Murmuring. He's healing people. He says he's God's son. It's a bit crazy, but he's doing things that no other person on this earth has done. Is there hope for me to see again? Revelation, God is doing something in people's lives and I want to be part of that. And he sits with the choice, what do I do begging here? There's no choice. But he has a choice. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. People condemn him. Keep quiet. Another choice, revelation. Does God love me? These people are telling me to be quiet. Jesus is going to ignore me. What must I do? Sit back and beg further? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me! What is your response? What is your fear? What is your choice? He demonstrated it. I walk through that fear. I walk through that because I'm afraid of losing Jesus. Never having that opportunity of Him passing by me and bringing healing to me. So powerful. We prayed it this morning. And that's the power of God being revealed to each and every one of us daily. Revelation. Choice. Obedience. Revelation. Choice. Obedience. And then the miracles will come. God will do the things that He does best and blows people's minds. A friend of mine, I've probably told this a few times, desperately hard life, lots of issues, invited him to men's camp, and God just did a miracle in his life. Everything culminating together, and he just had a packet of pain pills in his pocket that Jesus could use to reveal himself to him. Because somebody just said, there's a person at the back here that has got a packet of pain pills in his right pocket. Okay, I'm tapping my left, but... And he could not... And he actually had it out to another friend and said, who told him, I've got a huge headache now. Why do I have a headache in this men's camp? And he says, I've got a pack of pain pills. Do you want some? No, it's okay. The man with the pack of... And this friend says, it's you! And he runs to the front with that pack of pills and he throws it at the pastor. Because he realizes that God revealed himself in that moment, in that place, just for him. And there was no choice. He ran to the front and he got saved. And that's our story. That's the power of God in us. And that's the question. What's your revelation today? God, I'm sick. God, I'm struggling through this issue. God, I lost my father. I lost my child. What is God revealing to you in that situation? My child, I love you more than you will ever know or understand. I've given you everything that you desire or require. And I love you. I know the pain. I know the heartache. I know the struggles. But I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we stand up, please? And close our eyes. While our eyes are closed, I just want to read two things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then something simple. As I was preparing the sermon, this morning God just gave me this small thing. I'll read it if I can. Your love was nailed to a tree for the sake of me. A love so blind, it stopped all. It all but stopped time. God looked at me and gave a choice so free. Believe in hope and love that God should send from above. That you may know the truth of that miracle birth. A life so new like the morning dew. God, your love is so wide like the sea in its tide. Your love was a boat sent with a message of hope, a spark of life to a world filled with strife, a light to shine a light from heaven so bright that the earth began to shake at the impact of your wake. Father God, we just want to declare that you, Father, are everything. And Lord, so many times we've missed that boat, Lord God. We've missed that step of obedience, Lord God, simply because of fear, of ignorance, or whatever that thing was in our lives, Lord God. But we sometimes look back in our lives, Father, and we look at that point, Father. We can see that point where we made that mistake and made the wrong choice. And Father, we want to pray, Lord God, that you would truly come and just reveal yourself to us again. And bring about that change that we require, Father, that we can come to that point, Father, of realization that I decide for you, Lord Jesus. I want to follow you with everything that I am because I can see from your history, Lord God, from your character, Lord God, that you love us all the same. And you've destined us to be part of your kingdom, Lord God. You want us to be part of who you are. And you want to lead us in your love and your mercy and your grace. And in your light. And God, we just pray, Father, we're able, Lord, to see and receive the revelation and know it's from you. So that choice becomes a no-brainer, Lord God. It becomes, there is no choice. I have to make this step. I have to take that step of faith and do what you've called me to do, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the consequences. That we can have the power of God alive within us. And that is the power of the Spirit to enable us. That we can make the right choice whenever, wherever you lead us, whatever you put down before us, whatever circumstances we are facing, Lord God, we choose every day to follow after you, to step out in obedience. And Father, we pray that we are able, Lord, to make the right choice. And Father, we thank you that your heart is so magnificent, Lord God, where we've fallen and stumbled, Lord God. Where we've made the wrong choice, Lord God, you're still with us, Lord God. Your hand still holds us. And you still want to direct us to the right place at the right time. And Father, for those people under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray, Father, for every circumstance that you've revealed to their hearts during the sermon, Lord God, whatever it is, Lord God, that you've just laid up. That you've just touched their hearts and their minds to say, but this is where I need you to step out in faith and obedience. Where I need you to make the right choice, to choose my power of love and mercy and grace that is enabling you to do things that you are not capable of doing yourself. If that is you, if God has showed you something that you need to make right today, just say, this is me, God. I need to make that step. I need to make right. I need to make the right choice at that place. I need to take that step of faith. And if you're standing here today and you've stood before the cross and you've said, but this is foolishness. Because how can this be real? But I believe your heart has been convicted if there is something that God is telling you to do. To take that step and say, but God, I want to trust you. I don't know how. But I just want to take that small step and invite you into my heart and to see the wonders that you want to do in my life and change it. If that's you, just raise your hand as well. Just say, God, here I am. I want to make that choice today. I want to step out in obedience and follow you. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for those hands, Lord. I pray, Father, that you are able to give them just the wisdom, Lord, to trust in you, Father, to trust in you completely and say, Lord, it might not be easy, it will not be according to my will. But whatever step I take in obedience to you, it will just have the amazing gift, Lord, that it brings with it, your blessing and your purpose and your love and your mercy, and it will just grow and grow in our hearts. Lord, I pray for people in this week that will experience hardships, that has to make tough decisions, Father, that you're able, Lord, to be with them, Lord God, that you're able to give them that wisdom that they require, that they're able, Lord, to take that step of faith and say, God, I want to follow you. No matter how hard it is, no matter how seemingly insignificant it might be, Father God, but that you help me take that step, Lord God, that, and as I take that step of faith, Father, you are with me. And you just reveal your heart. You just reveal everything that you are to us. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your power within us, which is the grace of Jesus alive within us. Lord, it's the empty cross. It's the resurrected life and the King sitting on your right-hand side and just praying for us. And his blood covering our sins, Lord God, it is immeasurable, Lord, to measure that worth, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you would just reveal yourself to us anew, Lord God, that you would show us new things, Lord God. Give us visions, give us dreams, Lord God, that can bring us to the point that we can just submit to your truth and know that it's not something that we concocted in our own minds, our own hearts, or as human foolishness. But the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. And we mustn't measure ourselves to men's statutes. We measure ourselves against your word, Father God, and your word says that we are free. If we make that choice, Lord God, we're free in you. And it's Christ alive in us. Father, we pray that we're able to see your power in us, alive and working whenever we go to pray for people, whenever we've been struggling, Lord God, where we've had the wrong mindset, Father God, you would just allow us, Lord, to see it anew, to see it afresh and understand, Lord God, the power of God is alive in us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.